You're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we're certainly thankful that you're a part of our congregation today. We trust our broadcast service will be a real blessing to you. Opening our broadcast to the Way of Truth singer singing for us, Sin Will Take You Further Than You Want to Go.
As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartache a sinner. But God in His goodness has let me return to share with His children this lesson I learned. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Cost you far more than you want to pay. So with pleasure and promises, sin took control, leaving me dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest friends. Only a Savior could love me again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but slowly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Cost you far more than you want to pay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay.
Our subject for today's broadcast, God's attitude towards sin. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. The scriptures tell us that God is love. And of course, he is. But there is another side to God, and we do an injustice to him if we only preach and teach His love. In this message, I wish to deal with God's attitude towards sin. And we will start with the first man and the first woman God formed. God made them pure and holy. We are told Adam was the son of God, Luke chapter 3, verse 38. Of course, Eve also had spiritual life and was a child of God. God performed the first wedding ceremony when He made them one flesh. The Lord gave them a beautiful garden home and supplied them with every need they might have. He also gave them a law. There was a tree in the midst of the garden that the fruit of it they were not to eat. If they did, they would die in that very day. Later, Satan came to Eve, tempting her to eat of that fruit, and she did, and gave some of it to her husband, and he also ate of it. Just as God said, they died that very day, not physically, but spiritually. So will everyone who knowingly disobeys God and sins. They were no longer children of God, no longer holy, no longer had fellowship with God. But that was not all. God said to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the fruit, thou art cursed, the ground is cursed for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring it forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desires shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. Now coming down to Genesis chapter 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, went into the ark, and God shut them in. And after they were in there for 7 days, the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth. Genesis chapters 6 and 7. And then we come on down to Sodom. The Lord appeared unto him, Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. There was three men. After Abraham had fed them a meal, the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And the Lord, the one that Abraham called Lord, said, shall I hide this from Abraham, the thing that which I do? The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah, thorn, go so great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. And the two men that was with this one Abraham called Lord went on ahead, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here, and besides, sons-in-law, and thou shalt have many here in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because this cry of them is waxen great before the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. None of the married family members would believe Lot, and when the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot and said, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. As they left the city, Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. The sun was rising upon the earth when Lot entered into the little city of Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah a brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Genesis chapters 18 and 19. And then we come down to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And we read in the first 14 verses how God said he would bless them. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That's verse 1. Then you come down to verse 15, and God begins to tell them about the curses that he would put upon them if they disobeyed him. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And that's verse 15. Now, skipping over hundreds of years of the history of the Hebrews, we come down to the time Solomon had died, and the kingdom was divided into two parts. That happened in 925 B.C. The northern kingdom became known as Israel, and the southern kingdom was Judah. Jeroboam was king over Israel, and Rehoboam was king over Judah. Jeroboam set up a golden calf at Bethel and another one at Dan. Thus Israel began to worship idols. God sent prophets to warn them of the results of their evil doings, and some good was done in answer to some of the prophets, but the idol worship and evil continued. Israel had 12 kings. Not one of them was a true God-fearing king. In 721 B.C., Assyria captured the country and carried many of them away into captivity. During the siege of Samaria was when we have the story of the two women who agreed to kill each other's child and eat it. That's recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 28, 29, and 30. And just as was stated back in the book of Deuteronomy 28, we find there that one of the curses was that they would eat their own flesh. Israel was never a nation after that, after Assyria carried them away into captivity. Then, over 100 years later, Judah had 16 kings. A few godly, and others were wicked. At one time, God said Judah was doing worse than her sister Israel had done. Among the faithful prophets of Judah was the man Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He faithfully warned them as to what would happen if they did not turn from their idols and return to the worship of the true God. His message was ignored, and in fact, some wanted to kill him and put him down in a dungeon to let him die there. But God moved upon an Ethiopian, and he took rags and got others to help him, and they pulled Jeremiah up out of that dungeon. And the army of Babylon came just as Jeremiah had prophesied that they would. The army of Babylon came and carried away many along with spoils. Then, later on, after the king of Judah rebelled against Babylon, the army came again the second time, 8 years later. The king in Judah rebelled against Babylon, and this time the army came and carried away more. And they destroyed the beautiful temple known as Solomon's Temple. They tore down the walls, and they also burned the gates of the city. The captivity was to last a total of 70 years. The very poor that was left asked Jeremiah to ask God what they should do, saying they would do whatever the Lord said. Later, Jeremiah told them God said they should stay where they were and not go into Egypt, for if they did, they would all die there. But they accused Jeremiah of lying and left for Egypt and forced Jeremiah to go with them. Then came upon Judah, these things came upon Judah, they turned away from the true God and worshipped idols, including the Queen of Heaven. As you read the book of Jeremiah, the Lord used him again and again to warn them how he would punish them, how many would die with sword, with famine, and plagues if they did not repent and turn back to him. But they had false prophets among them that gave them a different message, and they believed the false prophets instead of the prophet of God, Jeremiah. And so, what Jeremiah prophesied upon Judah came to pass, and they were carried away, most of them. And again, passing over many years of the Hebrew history, we come to the time when the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah was fulfilled. When Jesus was around 30 years of age, he went to the Jordan River and was baptized by John, at which time the Spirit of God came upon him in fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah as recorded in chapter 61, and which he later read in the synagogue in Nazareth. And you can read how he read that in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. After reading that, he told the people, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing," or in your ears. That's verse 21 of Luke 4. Now, Jesus ministered to the people for 3.5 years. He taught them the truth. He healed their sick. He delivered many from demons and fulfilled all that the prophets of the old had said would happen or come to pass in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Nearing the end of his earthly sojourn, one day he departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple, how beautiful the buildings and the structure was. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." That's Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. Why was such a fate to fall upon that place? Jesus came down from the Mount of Olives and saw the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over it. And he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." And that's Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 and 38. "For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee and they shall not leave thee in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And that's Luke chapter 19, verses 43 and 44. Now, the prophecy that Jesus made about the time would come when there would not be one stone left upon another began to be fulfilled in A.D. 68 on through A.D. 70. And I will not go into a lot of detail, but there was great suffering, sickness, death, and many starved to death. There was at least two factions between the Jews in the city, and they destroyed much of their food, which added to their misery and woe. And there were thousands upon thousands that were slain, died of one reason for another. And I will give some numbers from Clark's commentary, which he has taken from Josephus's History of the War. Besides these, many of every age, sex, and condition were slain in the war, who are not reckoned, but of those who are reckoned, the number amounted to upwards of 1,357,000, which would have appeared incredible if their own historians had not particularly enumerated them. And that's the end of the quote there. And many also were led away captives into all nations. Those above 17 years of age were sent to the works in Egypt, but most were distributed through the Roman provinces to be destroyed in their theaters by the sword and by the wild beast. And that again is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Deuteronomy 28. And those under 17 years of age were sold for slaves. The temple and other buildings were torn down just as Jesus said they would be. The Western Wall, where Jews pray today, is not a part of the temple. And I repeat that. It is not a part of the temple, as some people think. Those stones that you find there where they pray today, the bottom part of the wall, they were part of a retaining wall that was built to hold the dirt in leveling out the area that is now known as the Temple Mount. So they were just a part of a retaining wall, and they were not a part of the temple. For as Jesus said, there would not be one stone left upon another. This great destruction, death, scattering of the people brought to an end the kingdom of Judah. God will never again honor animal sacrifices. He will never again dwell in a literal temple. His temple today is his redeemed people. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And let me also say, the great tribulation that people talk about coming yet out in the future, that great tribulation was what I just referred to in the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 68 and 70, where the multitudes of people were starved to death, killed. They threw dead bodies over the walls, and there was famine and destruction of all kinds. And that is the great tribulation that Jesus was talking about. He was not talking about something yet out in the future. Why did God allow such death and destruction? Well, according to Jesus, because of their sinful ways, and above all, because they rejected him and would not come under his wings. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood that was shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which were sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. And behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Matthew chapter 23, verses 34 through 38. And let me also say today, beloved, that Jesus was talking about the generation that he was talking about. When he said, this generation, this shall come upon this generation, he meant exactly what he said, that generation. Beloved, the wages of sin is death. And we have dealt today on the thought of God's attitude towards sin. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the wrath of Almighty God. God is good, God is love, but God is also just, and he does punish sin and wickedness and evil. Therefore, you need to make peace with God if you're not a child of his today. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation. May the Holy Spirit deal with hearts and good be accomplished. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. It's been a privilege to share this message with you today. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. If so, why not let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. They're on our webpage, and you can also join us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.